Blog Talk Radio. Storybox Audio.
Good evening. Welcome to Here Be Monsters Radio and the Sunday Show on January the 10th of 2021. Tonight, co-host Wayne Johnson and Ronald Feynman are with me, and we expect David to call in, but I don't know. What do you call it? Gentlemen, it's been quite a week. It's hard to begin to describe what the roundtable would speak about this evening, but I would ask our historian whether or not the War of 1812 was the last time anything like this came close to happening. Is that a truth, Ron?
It's true, except for, of course, on 9/11, there was the attack on the World Trade Center. Well, that's the New York World Trade Center and the Pentagon, of course,
Arlington,
Virginia.
Capital.
So it was a threat, but it did not actually happen except at the Pentagon, which is certainly too close. But as far as a direct attack on the Capitol, yes. The last time was August 26, 1814, when the British did it.
Well, I'd like to also to interject. There was an individual. He's from Easton, Maryland. I was working in Easton, Maryland. This would have been in the maybe mid-1990s, 1995, a white supremacist. And he traveled to D.C. and basically with guns and shot two of the Capitol Police right within the Capitol.
I think it was 1998, I heard.
Yes, that's about right. It would be in there, so...
Okay. It depends how you define an attack, but it wasn't a massive attack on the whole building, you know. Yeah.
Whatever way you put it, it was the British who came into the Capitol the last time. This time, it was a bunch of second white supremacists. This was nothing but a white boy show, a proud boy show, a crazy mixed up white angry people thinking that, you know, buying the lies of a Looney Tune in the White House, and every one of the Republicans that have backed him up, especially Hawley and
Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz.
Yeah, Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz are the two most significant. Although
Rubio
Rick Scott of Florida also fought against the vote counts, you know, overnight. So he's also despicable anyway, even before this, the former governor of Florida, now senator.
Well, also for our listeners, Maryland's first district congressman, Andy Harris.
Yeah, I saw
the one that backstabbed my friend Wayne Gilchrist, Congressman Wayne Gilchrist, to take that seat from him with the teabagger's help. He also, that's congressman, he also voted to basically try to overthrow the electoral votes. Corporate scumbag, that's what Andy Harris is.
A lot of Republican congressional people. Whoa, we lost David. He was trying to call in.
House, two-thirds of the Republicans in the House, yes.
Yeah, like 100 of them, right?
And it included the House Minority Leader, Kevin McCarthy, and the House Minority Whip, Steve Scalise, who would have been the Speaker and the Majority and the Majority Leader if they had won control of the House. The top two people on the Republican side. But Liz Cheney, Dick Cheney's daughter, was against that. So I got to give her credit for that. Not much I give the Cheneys credit for, but I got to give Liz Cheney credit.
Yeah, right. Give Liz Cheney credit. I mean, you know... It was interesting to listen. I just heard it about an hour and a half ago, the speech or the talk that Arnold Schwarzenegger gave from his home in California. And, you know, he's right. He's absolutely right. This is, the night Kristallnacht.
Night of the Broken Glass. Kristallnacht. In German,
But
the difference is that led to, of course, much worse. We cannot allow it to go any worse than it did.
Right. Also, too, basically renounced his membership within the Republican Party.
He did that before.
He made it more formal today, though. You know.
Yeah, yeah. He made it formal today. Yes, he was. Basically after W. Bush and Dick Cheney have him pass on what they knew were lies to the UN, supposed to be weapons of mass destruction and gas making chemical weapons and stuff to the UN, and he had Colin Powell because of his world-renowned recognition and respect. Get that false information from them and then to try to go into Iraq.
Are we talking about, are we backing on down the road that far? Gentlemen, there is so much to cover here. First of all, the responsibility being pushed and pressed upon the Republicans who instigated this, how is that going to unfold and who's going to support it? I mean, to hell with the past. We're sitting in a big stew right now. I mean, you know.
Well, this didn't happen overnight, Gwen. Has been building slowly.
No,
you know, little page, one turn page at a time to where we have reached to this extent. That's my point in that aspect.
Do you guys think that the exposure has been broad enough here that people are catching what the Republicans have been up to, where they're coming from, where their loyalties lay in payday politicking? Do you think that's it? And then welcome, David, to the conversation.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, David.
Hi, David.
Hey. Last minute computer fan just started to sound like a broken Chevy or something, and it shut down, so I had to use the computer.
Ooh.
How are things in Oklahoma?
Anyway, I got here. How's everybody doing?
Very good.
Doing fine. I'm curious. You're from Oklahoma, right?
I am.
Yeah. What do you think about, of all people, Inhofe condemning, what's the other name of the senator? For a moment, I can't
Langford.
Think of his name. What's the other senator in Oklahoma? Who?
Langford.
I always thought of Langford as the more mild and somewhat theoretically decent, and yet he ended up being one of the people fighting the electoral vote, and of all people, Inhofe did not. I was stunned by that. What are your thoughts on that?
I was surprised probably as much as you. he hasn't really been as close to Trump as some of his, like Cruz and Hawley, even though he's ultra-conservative, he sort of kept his distance a little bit.
But why would he have went with Trump. If it was that bad, why would he do that? I don't understand it. You don't know.
Maybe he saw the writing on the wall and said, that's just a no-win situation. I better take the Constitution.
Yeah, but Langford disappointed me because I thought he was, quote, more decent, end quote, than Inhofe. Shows you can't call any of these people decent.
Well,
he's
a damn
politician, so,
Yeah.
I was really surprised to hear Loeffler from Georgia to vote no when they got back in there and began voting, for whether or not the opposing of the election and running some kind of, committee or what have you, she voted it down. And
yeah,
she
changed her mind after the attack. That's what she said. I saw it.
Right.
She's still a despicable person.
Time,
I'm glad she lost.
Right. At some point in time, you have to develop a conscience in a situation like that. It's like she had to know that, I have been part of responsibility of what happened today. My life was almost taken by these reactionary nut jobs that have come in so fanatical with guns, with the intent of killing. Well, they killed one of the Capitol guards. They were injuring people. They were destroying some of the artwork and statues.
I heard is a bust of Zachary Taylor, the 12th president, was defaced.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm thinking if Zach Taylor
was
here, all rough and ready,
give
that guy a punch in the mouth.
Was it a conscience or just someone that's abandoning, like a rat leaving the ship? I think they weighed upon the political cost of benefits.
And
I think a lot of them said, this is the time to jump ship.
Yeah, whichever way the pendulum was swinging at the moment.
Well, exactly right. But do you think, David, this gives Biden, Harris, and whatever choices they make in this moment an excellent opportunity to make some large changes as to more progressive policies and to bring things around into a more sane straight here.
Well, I mean, you could certainly hope that would be the case.
But it's not going to be easy. Yeah.
No, it's not going to be easy, and there is the central core Democrats that, you know, for some reason they haven't embraced the progressive viewpoint that much. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's certainly an opportunity. I think the country is at the point now, if you throw out the, you know, 2 or 3 million extremists, I think the country is at a point where it sees it cannot go in the direction that it's going right now, and they have to, everybody has to come together.
Yeah. The only thing is, I've heard that there is going to be a large march with weapons next Sunday, January 17th, on the internet. They've been talking about that, the dark internet. So they have to get ready for this. And then for the 20th, the question comes up, should the president and vice president be inaugurated out in the open, or should they be inaugurated in the Capitol building, which has happened one time in 1985 when Reagan was starting his second term, was almost 74, oldest president inauguration, and the temperature was 7 degrees Fahrenheit. So they had the whole ceremony inside. I wonder if this is a case where maybe it should be inside for security reasons.
I think so. You know, I'd be surprised if they let them have a big march with weapons and everything. I think they'll declare a temporary moratorium or no weapons in, you know,
they should really
miles
in the district say no weapons allowed, you know, and if you're found with a weapon, you're arrested. That's all.
Yeah.
If they could
they they shut off the cell service where the president's at. I mean, they have jammers and everything. I mean, I don't see why they can't say this is a temporary no-gun zone.
Yeah.
If you call with a gun, you're going to get arrested.
Well, the thing is, that's all well and good when it's an M16, but, you know, there can be plenty of concealed 45s or whatever else, pipe bombs, you know, things like that.
They should check everyone coming into the district. Have police at the border and soldiers,
they can route the march in paths that are not allowing the people to have access to, you know, big memorials like the Lincoln Memorial or, you know, the Capitol building. They can certainly do that. And also, I don't think they can prevent the crowd from having guns. I mean, I think that's,
Certainly
prevent, you know, 80% of them carrying, you know, AR-14s or something, you know. I hope they learn the lesson with the Capitol, and they have 10,000 National Guard lining the streets.
And I read that New York is sending 1,000 National Guard to help, and they have a big fence around the Capitol like they have around the White House now.
I know.
The only thing is images. These fences, but they just built a fence since Wednesday, I heard.
Yes, they have.
Yeah, they have that portable no-scale fence. The question is, do you think they'll impeach Trump next week?
I think Nancy Pelosi is going to push this through.
Let's take turns on that one.
I didn't get the question. The question?
Excuse me. Do you think that they will impeach Trump next week? I think Nancy Pelosi is going to muster the votes to get it voted in the House and sent over to the Senate by the time the inauguration is in place. So it will be up to the Republicans as to whether or not in the Senate House, and she's pushing for it to happen, whether or not, you know, Biden's president or not.
I heard that.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they can impeach
said not before the 19th.
Trump
wait a minute, and then do the trial in the Senate
when he's out of office.
Say again,
you know,
David.
The advantage to that is that he can never run again.
Hold off the trial to after into May. Into the first, get the work done that has to be done the first 100 days, and because if you're going to do it on the 19th, it's going to interfere with the agenda.
Okay,
yeah.
David.
Just go ahead and impeach him next week, and I think they already have it set up.
But not
then,
a trial.
Hold on, and then wait until the Senate becomes a Democratic even tie or majority, whatever you want to call it.
That's the 20th. But the argument is that Pelosi wait to May, so it starts to become the priority of the Senate rather than the Biden program, whatever
what,
he wants
well,
to
well,
do.
Well, wait a minute. What fucking priority? They just take it in and they push it through. They don't pull it. There won't be any Mitch McConnell standing there saying, we'll get to it.
Yeah, that's right. They can get it done in a week.
It'll go immediately in there. They're feckin' serious here. Pelosi has left for rosary beads in San Francisco.
Right, let's see, my turn. Nancy Pelosi, they already have the articles of impeachment written up and ready to go. First thing Monday morning.
Tomorrow morning.
Pelosi will present it. They will probably vote on it and pass it. It'll maybe 2 days at the most, but then it can go over to the Senate. Mitch McConnell says he won't address it until the 19th.
That's right. That's what
it doesn't have to go to the Senate for quite a while.
Oh, well,
right.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, it'll
and
be
so all they have to do
impeached.
Is just wait until the new senators get sworn in, and
right.
then the advantage becomes theirs.
Right.
And
the
they still impeach his ass. They impeach his ass so that he can never try to run for public office again. So that the whatever's in those articles of impeachment come under the purview of them grabbing the money back from him. Do you know how
mm-hmm.
much money was raised through all of this?
It's a $1 million travel allowance each year. There is protection.
Wayne, you didn't clearly hear what I said. Do you know how much money Trump has raised and put into his own personal coffers through this whole thing in the last month and a half?
Well,
I think it was
$270
million.
How much?
$270 million.
Oh,
I thought
it was 200.
I was going to say about 250 would have been about my guess, right?
Yeah.
That would have been a guess.
Take it back, yep.
That should be yanked back out of his hands. And there's so much more that can be done. So much more.
Yeah, but the trial itself, whatever takes place, would not be done in a week because there's never been a trial that's that short. It's got to go on for a few weeks. I'm just saying the argument is don't have it get in the way of Senate business about doing what needs to be done about the pandemic and the economy. That's the argument, to wait till 100 days have gone by. That's
what
I read.
I think basically Pelosi is thinking along the lines of putting those Republicans who enabled this so much and who stood in this, like Mo, what's his name, and also bringing Giuliani up on it, and Don Jr., everyone
yes,
who instigated and incited that, plus the senators, Cruz, Hawley, and Marco Rubio was part of that.
Well, actually, Rubio voted it down. It was Scott. Rubio did not at the end do that. Scott did.
Now, could Trump be charged with sedition once he gets out of office?
I would say yes.
I believe so. I'm not a lawyer, but I think so. This is sort of an unusual situation. So I've been asked. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer.
Well, we know who not to send in. We won't send Mueller in. Will we? We will
well, no.
not send Mueller in. We won't send Mueller in. He did.
But,
Schwimmer.
I guess Chuck Schwimmer is going to be the Senate Majority Leader.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he can certainly set the agenda, the pace of the trial, at a much more rapid, end goal as opposed to Mitch McConnell, who's just
absolutely
set
on
it. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, very interesting times, huh?
Well, to answer the question on can he be charged with sedition, it is a federal law. I can't remember, but they used to call it the H-Rat Brown Law. It's the same law that they charged the Chicago 7 with, basically coming across and interfering in state lines to incite riots. Trump, I know, could at minimum charged with that.
I think he's definitely going to try to parole himself.
Yeah, but that's not, that's be correct. He's going. But the thing is now that's the other thing. And the professor and I have been talking about this. This is uncharted ground because Nixon was asking and was thinking about trying to parole himself, but he was told that he couldn't do it. There's, you cannot parole yourself. And the thing is if he paroles himself, you're actually pleading guilty to what you had done. You're just being forgiven to your guilt. So
and it would go to the courts. I don't think it would be upheld that you could pardon yourself. But meanwhile, idea that Mike Pence might be able to pardon him, I don't think Mike Pence would pardon him after he didn't call him since Wednesday and has broken off relations with him and doesn't seem to care about whether the fact that he was in danger. There's been no communication between the two men. So I don't think he would do him a favor if he was to resign, if Trump resigned for Pence to pardon him. I don't think he would.
Yeah, I think that romance is over.
Yeah.
The romance. I know Mrs. Pence never liked Trump. I remember on the night that they won, she was annoyed and she said, good luck to you, or something like that to her husband. She really didn't want him to be vice president because she didn't like Trump as a person, I guess because of those tapes about women.
Well, yes. I mean, my God, all the egregious atrocities he's committed, the patriarchy, like he can do whatever he wants to with women, whether they
that annoyed her
or not, right. It's basically, it's just rape. Come on, let's call it what it is.
Yeah, and the point is, whatever you think of
there's another side of the coin, too.
One other time, guys. You just come off garbled.
Okay. There's the other side of the coin. If he pardons himself, then he can no longer plead the fifth because –
good point.
Yeah, so he would be forced to testify against his son, against Ivanka, and all this stuff on charges that he can't be charged for because of the pardon. So
he's admitted to
the
guilt.
Bad either way. I mean, for him.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Professor?
Ron?
Okay.
Yes.
Ron? Yeah, what's your point? Your viewpoint?
About which point, have lost track of where we were talking. I'm saying that I don't think that Mike Pence would pardon him because he didn't show any interest in what happened on Wednesday. They haven't had any communication for the last 4 days. And Mrs. Pence hates Trump because she is religious, whatever you think of her otherwise, and she was upset about, about those tapes, as you just said. So I don't think he would pardon him. And, again, I think if he tried to pardon himself, I think that it could very well be challenged in the courts and the Supreme Court would not uphold it.
Yeah, thought too, an extended thought, is with all those that have been appointed to the Supreme Court, like Thomas, whose wife, by the way, was raising money and cheering the rioters on.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is a disgrace, and so is he.
Well, he is too, right.
Yes.
So, what kind of synergy do we have there? In the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
But
I don't think Pence would pardon him. I don't think that's going to happen. And Pence wouldn't be president for 2.5 years like Gerald Ford. He'd be president for a day or two, which is actually quite ridiculous when you think about it.
But then again, we are in some ridiculous times.
Now, think of it. If he was president for, say, 2 days, he would actually have to go down as number 46, and suddenly Biden would become number 47. And then the joke is he's president for a couple of days, so he gets his own presidential library and museum.
Oh, my God.
In theory, he should, but would he really for a 2-day president or a 6-day president?
Well, that's a very good point. That would be an accurate statement, Professor.
Of course, if Trump died, he'd be president. But even then, at this point, to be a president and then have a library because you're there for a week, it's quite silly. It's actually humorous.
Well, do you think they're going to allow Trump to actually have a library?
Well, I don't know.
Dave, start
it's
with
money
you,
raised
Dave.
Privately. You can't prevent it. Like
I don't know. What would it house? Mad Magazine?
Well, the problem is it probably would be in my county, at Palm Beach County, because that's where his Mar-a-Lago is, and I don't really want that. We'd have all those wackos that believe in him showing up to see the library.
Yeah, it'd be all filled up with those Fox News, all those guys who write those books, like Hannity and all that stuff.
Yeah,
his whole library would be filled up with that.
Jesus, Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter and
just all
the whole crew.
But Rush Limbaugh won't be around for long, as far as visiting it. That's an example, I hate to say it, where you say, why is it good people don't live on and bad people live on? But they do so often,
Well, basically,
yeah, Alex Trebek and Rush Limbaugh.
Right. Well, and I guess
why did Alex Trebek have to die?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Why didn't Rush Limbaugh gone and Alex Trebek is still here? Yeah, that's the point I'm making, you know.
Well,
yeah,
it,
exactly.
It's also, you know, is incredible that Trump is planning on taking Air Force One down to Texas tomorrow to begin a tour of all of his successes, beginning with the border wall that he, you know, built.
Well, yeah. I thought they only has gained about 6 miles of new border wall. I think everything else is just upgrading the wall that was there. That's what I thought. We'll see what the story is this week.
Well, come on, guys. I mean, and you know, if he's out palling around in Air Force One for a week, spending money.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, that's your tax dollars there.
I mean,
yeah,
what,
I don't think you can get away from that.
No.
But that Air Force One no longer is his on Inauguration Day.
Right.
Right.
But maybe,
so if he thinks he's flying to Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, he could burn some fuel in the meantime.
Culpability, guys. What do you think about culpability here with the Republicans, who Hawley and Cruz?
I think they should be expelled, but you have to have a 2/3 vote in either house to expel a member. It's very rare, so you're not going to get 2/3 in either house to expel.
Right. No, well, that'd be the same for the 100 congressmen. You know, the 100 congressmen, the Republicans have voted to try to overthrow the electoral vote. Like, you know, again, I'm going to raise his name up here because I want everybody to know it. First District of Maryland, Andy Harris, the corporate scumbag, voted to throw out the will of the people through the electoral votes.
Well, you know,
again,
who else? Jim Jordan in Ohio, who is in the district area where WWGH is, which where I'm on the show with Glenn Coble. Jim Jordan's another piece of crap, and he also backed Trump.
Right.
Yeah, and of course, I think it was 147 House. Basically, 2/3 of the House Republicans, they were expelled. There would only be like 60 or 70 left.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
And the thing is and being from, you know, living out in Ohio, Columbus area, I know that you get outside of Columbus, it is very much Klansmen. You get up around Toledo, you're going to find large clutches of neo-Nazis movements up there and stuff. And, you know, they're fine with that extreme fanatical reactionary right because that's what they vote up there. Like I said, I saw myself, a friend of mine, a musician, who was refused to be served, to sit down in the restaurant because they don't serve black people. This was just a couple of years ago, folks. That's how Klansmen that area is.
Wow.
Unfortunately for Andy Harris, yes, I saw that firsthand. But Andy, you know, in Maryland, we are much more progressive, more sane, and it's the Eastern Shore of Maryland, which is, you know, the area that Frederick Douglass escaped from. Harriet Tubman came from, and, you know, that area still votes what I could consider right-wing Klansmen. But the you take the Baltimore-Annapolis corridor, which is also part of the First District, you know, Andy Harris is supposed to represent that. You know, I think the Democratic Party of Maryland needs to hold his feet accountable and really make it known what kind of seditious acts Andy Harris committed here just a few days ago.
Do you think there's going to be widespread culpability brought to bear on these Republicans? I mean, they've shocked the country.
Go ahead, Dave.
I think the people who are in Congress who voted to try to prevent the electoral vote, it'll come up to each district and the states when these people come up for election, whether in 2 years or 4 or 6, depending on when the senators were elected, whether they're going to hold them accountable. And probably a lot of them will not hold them accountable because they're not going to resign, I don't think, and they will not be expelled because they can't get a 2/3 vote.
Right.
So a lot of them will get away with it.
Dave,
you're but many.
I'm sorry, I was sort of messing, trying to get my computer going. Can you hear it?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Sounds terrible,
well,
doesn't it?
I'll step up and take the next one here.
I David the 6-inch drop test, and that usually fixes it. So,
okay. I would say for the accountability, Gwen, Ohio won't make a difference. That's their guy. He voted the way they wanted him to, and that's how much insanity there is in Ohio in those areas. I think the new case, though, come in 2 years here when Andy Harris is up for election again. There may be a chance that Maryland, provided they have a strong Democratic candidate.
That's always the issue. Same with Florida, having a strong candidate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always the problem, yeah. Yeah, look at Texas, Louie Gohmert. Who's going to get him out of office?
Right.
Nobody is going to, I think. He's just a nut, but the First District of Texas, they're so right-wing.
Well, you know, it was just a few votes that let Cruz back in.
Yeah, it was close.
It was very close. It was hugely close. It's why people have been saying it's gone purple.
Well, that's right.
Amazing that Georgia has a Jewish and an African-American senator. It's like you couldn't believe it happened, but it did.
Right. Well, I give Stacey Abrams the credit on that.
Yes. You know what's funny about her? When I first heard of Stacey Abrams a few years back and I didn't know who she was, I thought, oh, a nice Jewish lady. And then discovered she's not Jewish, but she's African-American. But with that name Abrams, I really thought she was a Jewish lady.
Well, we've lost Wayne. He got dropped. I think that Stacey Abrams did a lot to bring out the vote, but the people of the state of Georgia were just not going to have it.
That's right.
You know, they just weren't going to have it. And the people of that Georgia has been consistently Republican held and Republican swayed, but no more. People are getting off their asses and voting. And it really bothers me that the media will keep saying, well, 40% of the people approve of him. Well, no, 40% of voters approved of him. And how many people in this country voted as comparative to the population? Come on.
Well, actually, as far as the presidential election, apparently it was 2/3 of the people voted, the highest since 1900, 66.7%, which is quite a great figure. Never hasn't been as high since 1900.
So you're saying a quarter of the people in this country are crazy white supremacist motherfuckers.
And 1/3 don't care enough to vote.
I'm going to say it. You know, anybody who supports or went for Trump in this last election has either been an ostrich with their head in the sand, or they're white supremacist belt and they're bent. And
well,
I know
I tell you, there are people
voted for him, but.
There are people I know who I've learned are not nice people. You know, you learn some of the people, either relatives or friends or associates. And I'm saying, really? I can't believe what they believe. So you don't always know people. You think you do until you know what hits the fan.
Right. Yes. I mean, I guess we all have, you know, members of our family. You sit back
or friends,
You know, I used to have respect for you, but, you know, if you've got to be thinking this way and you're at family gatherings talking nonsense and racist and, the seditious
anti-Semitic
aspects, it's like, you know what, I don't think I need to be here anymore. You know, you have a good life.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it takes a burden off you when you realize these people are not worth your time. You're right.
Right. You know, you've got to... You just have to wake up to the reality.
Yeah.
How are things in Oklahoma, David?
Yes.
How are things in Oklahoma? How are people in Oklahoma reacting to this, just in the neighborhood kind of thing?
Oh, I try not to talk to my neighbors. I at my work I don't talk politics and
how many Biden Harris
yeah you know it's a very conservative area that I'm in, and you know, talking politics is opens up a sort of a I don't know, black hole monsters. It's a rabbit hole that you know.
So you don't have any Biden Harris signs up, huh?
No, but there's a neighbor down the street that had one and had it all yanked. There's still a couple of Trump signs in front of people's yards. And
even
but,
after this? Oh, my.
Yeah, it's definitely a Trump country, I mean, you know, area. So, and, you know, the thing is, you have to choose your battles. I mean, are you going to, you know, get an argument at the end of your driveway with someone that you don't know, you know, if they're going to drive by at night with a shotgun or something, you know,
yeah,
and shoot up your windows? For the sake of what? You're not going to convince them otherwise, so what's the point of having to argue with them?
Yeah.
There's no point.
Yeah.
I have to reflect back to when I was out in Columbus area. I was good friends with the IT guy who, at the company I was working with, and his girlfriend. She was also doing kind of the same kind of work dealing with transmission lines that I was. Good people. You know, they're in their 40s. And, you know, we kind of did things together. They referred to me, you know, as a crazy Uncle Wayne, which was good. But I remember the IT guy, the husband, saying, yeah, he was going to vote for Trump. And I didn't quite recall back in horror, but, you know, he said, just because he wanted to try something different, he says either he's going to turn things around massively and get it on the track, or he's going to have it so screwed up so the country's just going to have to go Control-Alt-Delete, using computer term. Just to reboot the whole damn mess again. Well, I think of that. You know what, buddy? I think you got that last bit right. This is a Control-Alt-Delete moment. Reboot.
Yep.
Just shut it down and reboot. Reformat the hard drive.
Wow.
I'm fortunate that my neighbors on both sides are liberals, you know, so it's, it makes it much easier when you just know it, you know.
Check.
Well, they, you know, all since all this happened on Wednesday, the news media is bringing more, and what, there's been a lot of more information uncovered, and people are speaking out. Democrats are talking, especially in the House, and the Arizona reps, Biggs and Gozer,
yes,
are implicated in the insurrection. There's, it's just how it's. How they can stay in office is just beyond me, especially in Arizona now, because Arizona is not as red.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we also had the attorney general, was it from Louisiana or Mississippi, one of those U-Haul states down there far south. He was proactively raising money through all kinds of stuff so he could get bus rides and plane tickets for those people to come up to participate in this seditious, riotous act. They knew they were sending him up there for that sole purpose, to D.C.
Well, and also, I think I read in Roundtree a piece about, you know, it was the, many of the people that attended this and were part of it were police, off-duty cops from around the country.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, yeah, they, well, look, let's go back and look at history.
Well, we've got
Burnham.
A real problem with police in this country.
Right, well, we've always had
said.
It. Back in the 60s, there was a lot of policemen who were Klansmen.
Yeah.
Bull Connors, who controlled Louisiana, Mobile, Mississippi, Mobile, Alabama, right? The governor of the state was afraid of that sheriff in that area because he had that much clout and claim.
Teddy Roosevelt was trying to clean that up beginning in New York as police commissioner.
1890, right. Yeah.
And what we need is we need somebody who walks into the fraternal order or there's the overall commission that says, okay, this is it. And starts some kind of process because the cop shops need to be cleaned.
Well,
really
Russo, who was mayor of Philadelphia, and he'd been through the police force and stuff, he was a totalitarian and, you know, committed a lot of atrocities toward minority because that's the way he was going to keep those people under control, you know, quote unquote. That would have been in the early 80s in that time period. And I remember there was a lot of those that touted him, boy, he's going to get it straightened out. He's going to take care of, I'm doing air quotes here, those people.
Well, a lot of
hey guys, I'm going to have to bow out here. My computer's getting worse. I got to have it for tomorrow morning, so I got to get it fixed.
All right.
So, anyway,
thank you.
Talking to you, David.
I appreciate the time on the radio, Glenn. Take care, everybody.
Take care.
You too, David. Be safe.
All right. Bye.
The whole thing is that the cops need to be, and with the other big thing here, it's not just what's happened this week in our politics, but it comes to bear in it. COVID is ramping up much worse.
Oh my!
There's new evolutionary strains coming out of Japan, New York, South Africa, that makes it so much more contagious. I have family in the healthcare industry, and I know that they're doing everything they can to protect themselves while at work. And, you know, God rest them, you know, for everything they do. You know, this thing is not over.
I heard today that 27,000 deaths in 10 days.
It's getting worse.
Exactly.
2,700 average a day if you do times 10. Yeah, but the one thing that's just been pointed out, a lot of these right-wing wackos who were involved in this attack, they didn't have masks. They're all congregated together. Maybe a lot of these people will get sick and die as a result, you know?
Well, Ron, I never wish harm on people because that's just not what I could do. But
no, but honestly, if anybody deserves to suffer, it's these kind of people. That's all I'm saying, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I hear you. I do know this. What we've got going on here is forced evolution. And
it's Darwin working
you know,
out.
This is going for the DNA. And
yes.
You know, there are a lot of people who this doesn't mind. Manifius, a firefighter and paramedic down there in Palm Beach County. And he's had it twice. And he's not had any big symptoms or anything. And his fiancée who lives with him before they knew it and everything, she never tested negative, positive for it ever. And I'm hearing a lot of this. A lot of people who live with people who get it, they never get it. They just don't get it. So this is DNA.
And I'll tell you that, like I said, is you know, the symptoms of COVID, you know, the collapsing of the lungs, you not being able to transfer oxygen through the lungs, like the bloodstream and stuff, where you have to be on oxygen and sometimes even respirators. But there's also periphery side effects, depending upon where the virus settles, around the kidneys, around the heart and stuff, that is long-term damage that you're going to have issues with. I had a musician friend, a drummer, out there in Columbus, great guy. And he caught COVID, and 2 weeks later, though, he died from a COVID-caused stroke.
Yeah,
Two weeks after contracting it. 2 weeks after contracting it.
Well, if you read about how it works, you understand it's not just respiratory, but pulmonary and also vital organs.
Wow.
It goes after whatever it wants to go after in your system. It morphs in everybody.
Exactly. It morphs and evolves. Like I said, the COVID virus itself is very, very adaptive, evolutionary changing. And what we thought we had and stuff, you know, when Trump was running around calling it the Hong Kong flu and whatever, you know, diverted racist term he could use for his own failures.
He calls it the China virus or whatever.
Yeah, China, right. Well, what I'm saying is a lot on the East Coast here, they know from the DNA strain, really came from Europe. Not from,
yes,
not China.
Out of Italy, yeah.
Right.
They've
because it has, you know, these different evolutionary strains have their own DNA tag, and they know where that, from those tags, they know the transmission route that it took to come to what areas in this country.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, well, we're in a lot of trouble here. What are the best remedies that the unique that the individual can take at this time? I keep wondering. I know we should stay, if we have the ability to, you stay home, you stay locked down.
Mm-hmm. But most important of all, wear the damn mask.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it. And we've heard it stated like that in the exact same verbiage I just gave. Wear your damn mask. Not only protect yourself, but protect your family, your friends, your neighbors, people who you don't know that you
You're
might
right.
come in contact. Have humanity, compassion, that if I wear this mask, I'm helping this person who I do not know, maybe keep them from getting it.
Yeah, but unfortunately, a lot of people don't care about anybody but who they know directly. That's the problem.
Well, and a lot of people are really just quite ignorant. I mean, you know, you take a look at a bunch of the people who were attending. I can't get over the young woman who was an Air Force vet that just walked right into a bullet in the Capitol the way she did. And I've seen some of the stuff she was posting, this queuing on this crazy shit.
Yeah, I saw some of what she had posted. She was a real maniac, yeah.
Yeah, these folks live in drama and they live in fear. And you know what? They're always present in every society. It's just a small amount and the youth that they can corrupt with these ideals.
Yeah, I also read that woman, you know, she had a boyfriend who had a former girlfriend. And this woman, the one who got killed, went after the other former girlfriend, was ramming her car and threatening her and all that. What kind of crazy crap is that, you know?
Well, that's some mental sickness there.
Yeah.
Wow. That's some mental sickness there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Who doesn't want another woman with their man? But they go to extremes, you know?
They do. They do. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that we're all, you know, I mean, with and there's a big lockdown coming. When Biden gets in office, he's going to have to start impressing upon the governors again to lock down.
And I have to think to myself, you know, yeah, we want to try to heal the nation, reach out. But there's some of these people, if you're not going to reach out to them because they're already in a cult. They're in a cult. They need deprogramming. They need to be taken back and, you know, and addressed individually like that.
Yes.
Which, you know, it's just like after Hitler died in his bunker, beside in his bunker and stuff, and the Allied forces finally overran Germany, there was also a cleanup of going around trying to find the individual cells of the fanatic reactionary Nazis and still have to implode the generic cell.
Obviously, the Nazis were never put down. I give you a case in point. Us now, they're Nazis. They aren't neo-Nazis, but they're Nazis.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
they're Nazis,
white,
right.
White supremacy. This is white supremacy. This is...
Right. That's been going on since the Civil War.
Yes. And I just wrote today about the fact this is the most dangerous moment since the Civil War in the sense that our government is under threat like it was then. But even then, the Confederate side never made it to D.C. They were around D.C., but they were not able to actually get into the capital city.
Right. I was talking with a young friend about that. Did I think there was going to be a Civil War? I said, well, the problem, you know, let's look at it this way. There was the fine boundary north-south line, demographics, that, you know, lined it up. What we're dealing with today, it is a intermingled pockets throughout the whole country of these reactionary dangerous groups, and it's not a defined line, it's going to be much harder.
Yeah, I agree, because it's generational, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, right.
Oh, boy. I just worry about Sunday we might have horrible news if we go by what the plan is of these groups next Sunday. I just hope not.
Yeah.
Well, have you gotten any kind of a list there, Ron, about what is actually being planned? Because I don't think anybody's really said. I mean, I've read things on Facebook.
I just hit a story, I think, on CNN that said they expect thousands of people to come heavily armed and to come to the Capitol city in order to rally for Trump and claim that the election was stolen still. But they're going to supposedly have heavy arms with them. That's what's said. We'll see if it happens. Apparently, there's people planning that. The question is, what can the government do to tone it down and make sure that even if there's people there, they can't promote more violence. The one thing is the fence and the perimeter will prevent them from, I guess, getting into the building. But still, they could do a lot of damage to monuments or to other sites in D.C. So I think anybody living in D.C. should stay home next Sunday.
Right. Too, as I see, the long-term problem is the lone wolf individual cells planning things. You can look at Tim McVeigh with the FBI building in Oklahoma. The guy that just blew up on Christmas Day through his RV, the AT&T building, because he believed all that, 5G is what's causing the COVID and all of the kind of lizard people. He had all the scenarios there, and so it's one of those things that it's going to be that underlying turmoil and the planning. Well, it's terrorist cells, and you're going to have to keep looking at them, but you're still going to have to be. It's like what they said during the Trump administration in 9/11. You know, we have to bat 1,000. We have to try to catch each and every one. They only need one to get through.
That's right. I think our domestic terrorism now is more of a threat than international terrorism.
Exactly. Oh, it's not even close in the comparison now. Our homegrown terrorism, based on the Rush Limbaugh's fanatics, Ann Coulter, the Glenn Beck aspect, the Tucker, whipping up these people on a daily basis to reinforce their distorted views, those are the ones you're going to have to watch.
Yeah, Fox News really has a heavy burden for what they've been doing the last 4 years, distorting reality. And they, I think they're responsible, along with OANN and Epic Times, and also, what is it called? Max something? I forgot the other one. The Max channel or whatever. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable, and people take and believe all this. I wanted to mention, I have a friend who's a social worker, and she said she has this 80-year-old girl that told her she couldn't believe it, that she said, Joe Biden has to die. And she says, where did you get that from? She said, my dad tells me that. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
When little kids are hearing these things, once they hear it, they get impressed by it, they're impressioned, but then they grow up thinking that way. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, look at the QAnon group. Democrats are eating babies. The guy that came up from North Carolina with his M16 and ammo and his, the pistols and stuff, to a pizzeria in D.C. because, what's that nut job? Alex Jones. Said that Hillary Clinton was running a kiddie porno prostitution in the back room of that pizza place. This guy flies all the way from North Carolina, storming into that pizza place, demanding he's going to release those children. Meanwhile, the guy in the restaurant saying, "What the hell are you talking? What's going on here? What the hell are you talking about?" Right? But Alex Jones had that man convinced so much that guy was ready to kill anybody and everybody going into a pizza restaurant.
Alex Jones should be in prison. He's also the one that promoted the Sandy Hook Elementary School that it didn't happen in 2012.
Right. Right.
And also the Parkland shooting in 2018 near where I live claims it's a farce. But a person like that should not be out of prison, really.
No, it's, you know, but how...
Well, freedom of speech. That's crazy.
Well, gentlemen, what do you think is the best option? I mean, the positive note we can end on here and let people know how to comport themselves in this next week. I mean, it won't be until the week after that we face...
I have the perfect statement, and I've sent it to you and Ron earlier, and now I think I would like to, you know, pass this on. You know, as we saw this past week, some may see white supremacy as a threat to our democracy. But rest assured and take comfort in the fact that democracy is a threat to white supremacy.
Well, that's
right.
A
positive note.
And democracy will survive, but we all have to work together and fight against this extremism in any way we can. But be careful, and the state capitals particularly throughout the country, all 50 state capitals and D.C. in the next 10 days, because we could have a terrorist attack at any of those, particularly those that are blue states, I guess, have more likelihood of that. So probably California and Michigan and New York and places like that are more in danger, but all of them are in danger because we have crazy people who are trying to overthrow our government, and we can't allow it.
Right, right. So, Gwen, how about you?
Oh, I'm all for supporting whatever the Speaker of the House is up to. That's all I know. Whatever the Speaker of the House is up to, I'm going to support it because she's been the only one who's been proactive since day one. Really?
Yes, it's about that. There was a terrorist arrested.
Schumer has been there and stuff. They all have been, but it's been Nancy Pelosi. I mean, I can just hear her heels echoing through the Capitol building going back and forth. And that sound alone gives me comfort.
Yeah, there was a terrorist
arrested,
threatened to put a bullet in Pelosi's head. He was arrested. Boy, it's a danger that woman has to deal with. I wanted to just say before we go, at least I've comment on my part, that imagine when Joe Biden gives a State of the Union address in February, who's behind him? For the first time, two women, Harris and Pelosi. How about that?
Oh, my God, you're right.
I love that.
That is a really great thing to end on, Ron. Thank you.
There you go. You want to suffer positive? There you go. Women in government have...
So if somebody doesn't like women, they don't want to kill Joe Biden because they're going to get a woman.
And she's going to be pissed off.
Oh, gosh. Got to laugh in all this. Otherwise, you go nuts, you know?
Yeah,
it's true. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining me
this
evening.
It's a great show. It's been a good show today.
Thank you, David, for joining us for the majority of it, and I hope this computer gets fixed. Ron, you want to tell people where they can find you real quick?
Yes, I'm at theprogressiveprofessor.com and History News Network under my name, Ronald L. Fineman, and, of course, on Facebook and Twitter.
Very good. And for me, Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson kind of gives a little bit of everyone has a sum of their own life's experiences, and kind of post about my past experiences.
And I'd like to remind everybody that the show is sponsored by DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. You can go over and find some essential oil blends and some misters and all kinds of products, sensual, subtle, and physical, expressing the traditions and spirituality of our ancestors. So thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back next Sunday at 6 p.m. with Here Be Monsters Radio and the Sunday show, A Progressive Roundtable. Thanks, guys. Please stay safe.
Thank you, and always a pleasure, Gwen. Professor?
Always a pleasure, yes.
I'll be talking with you all offline here. So.
Yes, of course.
good night, all.
Night.
Good night, gentlemen.